All right, well, good morning. Good morning, Renewal Mainline. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Dwight Yu. I've been serving as the senior pastor in Renewal in Philadelphia, your sister church, for the past 14 years. I have just transitioned into a new role, doing regional church planning coordinating work. So I know it's a time of transition for Renewal Mainline. It's a time of transition for me and my family as well, but most of you I do know, and it's really sweet to see your faces this morning, and it's a privilege to share this important day in the life of Renewal Mainline and in the life of my friend, Pastor Dan Wang, who I've known for nearly 30 years now, and so what a joy it is to share this day with you. Can I encourage you, if you have your Bible, let's turn to Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, and being that this is a installation service, do want to share from the Word of God, and want to share two specific ideas from this text. So Ephesians 4, 7 to 16, and I'll read that for us. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks and praise. This is the day that you have made, and we rejoice. We are glad in it. Lord, we come before you as your people. I recognize that all of us are probably at different seasons in our lives, and we also recognize that churches also go through different seasons. Yet we give you thanks and praise because through every season, you remain faithful. Those seasons change and people change and situations change. You remain unchanging. Your love is steadfast. Your promises hold true. And you are forever present with your people. And so we thank you even now for your presence with us here. And we invite you to speak through your holy word. We open up our hearts to you to receive the word that you would have for us. And Lord, help us to receive that word for the sake of our good and to your glory, the building up of your church. To this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two main ideas I want to share from our text, and they are as follows. The church needs leaders. It's the first idea. Pretty straightforward. The church needs leaders, and secondly, leaders need the church. Leaders need the church. And so let's tackle these one at a time. First, the church, the church needs leaders. Okay? Verses 7 to 8, the Apostle Paul describes how after Jesus' ascension, he pours out his Holy Spirit on the church. And one of the results is that every believer has been given specific spiritual gifts, at least one or more. And the exact kinds of gifts And the quantity of those gifts, how many spiritual gifts you have, are determined by Christ, according to his wisdom and according to his will for you and for his church. Now, we find examples of these spiritual gifts listed in passages like Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. But in this particular passage, Paul focuses on a specific set of gifts. And his focus here is on specific leadership positions in the church, and then the gifts that are needed for those roles. So again, verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so you see, again, Christ has gifted every single believer. But in order for believers to become all that God wants them to be, in order for us to become all that God wants us to be, specific leadership offices and the corresponding gifts for those roles are absolutely necessary. And this is by God's design. And so the apostles and prophets are referring to those who laid the foundation of the church, as Paul explains in chapter 2:20 and chapter 3, verse 5. And their role was unique, both historically and authoritatively. But then Paul continues specifically listing shepherds and teachers. And these two roles describe the biblical office of elders. Further described in the book of Acts 1 Timothy 3, Titus, 1 Peter, pastors fulfill both of these roles. They shepherd, they lead and oversee the flock, and they teach. They are to feed the flock through the word of God. They're, in a sense, we can call them shepherd teachers. So in our denomination, we call pastors teaching elders. And then there are elders who don't preach or teach regularly, although they are apt and qualified to, but they don't preach or teach regularly, and yet they continue to lead alongside of teaching elders, and we simply call them ruling elders. Now notice the language Paul uses in verse 11, right? He doesn't say God gave gifts to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, although that's true. Rather, he says, and he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. In other words, we could say, not only do they have gifts, they themselves are a gift to the church. And they are given for the purpose of enabling the church to grow into all that it's meant to be, both qualitatively, spiritual maturity, Christ-likeness, and quantitatively, that the body of Christ is meant to grow through outreach by adding to its number. And so simply put, Renewal Mainline, Tim, Dan, I'll include Nick, have and continue to lead, give, serve, and we should thank God for the gift that he's given us in these brothers. And I'll include with that the diaconate, the staff as well, Mike, Rieg, right? Esther, both Esther and Chung, Esther Z, Euron and Grace. We thank God for the gift of these folks. But today we're specifically celebrating and recognizing the fact that God has given Renewal Mainline, this church, a gift in our brother Dan Wang, a brother that I have known, as I mentioned, for nearly 30 years. And not just one of the pastors, just people, one of the most faithful and steady people I know. And in the providence of God, he has brought Dan here to serve on this session for such a time as this, at this particular season in the life of Mainline. A time I'm well aware, as I've been praying for you guys, a time of significant change and transition. And I have no doubt that in God's providence, given Dan's steady, consistent faithfulness, he knew just what the church needed. So this day is significant not just for Dan and in the life of Dan and his family, but for you, for the life of this church. Because as he stepped for it, as the Apostle Paul describes, it will help us all grow to becoming more like Christ, knowing him as a church and making him known both qualitatively and growing quantitatively. And then second simple main idea I want to draw from this text is the church needs leaders and leaders need the church. Verse 12, Paul describes the responsibility of the particular offices of shepherds and teachers, or shepherd teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, the function of pastors and elders, TEs and REs, is not to single-handedly do all the work of ministry in a local church, as many of you who grew up in youth groups witnessed, where your youth pastor probably presided, shared the sermon, collected offering, led the music, set up the snacks, and drove everybody home. All right? That's horrible polity. That's not how the church is meant to run. Pastors are to equip the saints, equip you to do the work of ministry. That through the preaching and teaching, through praying, through shepherding care, through discipleship, members would grow in loving Christ and knowing Christ, grow to discover their gifts, to use their gifts, grow in the godly character required to properly use those gifts, to grow in love and service to others. And so that may that be a reminder to the officers of the church, that's your role. To not just run around doing everything, to equip your people well. That's how churches are meant to work. As he describes in verse 16, when each part is working properly, then the body grows so that it builds itself up in love. You and I know, sadly, so often in churches function more like a football game. I know that's on a lot of our minds. You have 22 people on the field who desperately need rest, and thousands in the stands who desperately need exercise. As I share often at Renewal in the City, too many churches, 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. And the 20% that gives and gives and gives and gives, while the 80% says, good job, passively receives. And because the 20% shoulders way more than they're meant to, they're either in danger of burnout or they do burnout. I see a lot of guys in Renewal over the past couple years. Guys have been getting into, trying to get time to play basketball in their mid-30s, pickleball, and I see Achilles being ruptured left and right. And then their wives ready to strangle them. And there they are with the brace and, oh my goodness, months of rehab. And for several of these guys, I see that they kind of heal up, and then they want to get back to it. And then they blow the other one. And you know what that reminds me of? This principle. That sometimes if a part, it's not kind of fully healed, but you just push yourself, and then the other side tries to overcompensate. And it too gets injured. The once healthy part, in overcompensating, gets injured. Likewise, I think this happens in the body of Christ, where folks who might be healthy step up to serve, they're overcompensating for other parts and end up burning out in the process. Mainline, I haven't been here on the ground. Maybe you're already doing this. And if you are, praise God. And if you aren't, may this be a word of encouragement to you. Particularly in this season in the life of your church right now, what's absolutely necessary is every member ministry. Every part doing its each part doing its work. And truly, every part is needed. God knows what each congregation needs and provides those gifts. I don't believe there are any useless or redundant gifts given. God knows what each church needs, what each local congregation needs, and provides the right people for it. If he provides 15 people gifted in childcare, well, there's a reason for it. There's no useless or redundant gifts. So in order for the church to be fully healthy, yes, we need pastors and elders who are faithful in the exercise of their gifts and pray that they would be empowered to that end. But that being said, I'll add this. Church leaders need your gifts too. The church leaders need your gifts too. As a pastor in our denomination, in the PCA, we are actually members of our presbytery, not the local church. So my membership is with my presbytery, not the church we serve. And the wisdom of our polity is that we too are under authority. We too are held accountable. I think that's a good thing. So again, technically our membership is with our presbytery, but, important caveat, that does not mean we are not in need of the gifts of the churches we serve. In Romans 16, the Apostle Paul takes the time to personally thank and greet many individuals by name. And the vast majority of those names are ones that are not famous per se, but it's apparent that many of them played a significant role in making Apostle Paul's ministry possible, in making him effective as a leader. He didn't do it alone. The church needs leaders, and the leaders need the church. I'm just going to quote the great philosopher Nick Sirianni, who said, "You can't be great without the greatness of others." And I think he's onto something. There are so many times in my own ministry, after 14 years, I'm doing a lot of reflection right now. Some of you guys have known me for a while. 26 years, my entire adult life, I spent serving Emmanuel and Renewal. So you better believe I'm going through a lot of time of reflection right now. And as I look back, I think of the many times that my weary and burdened soul has been ministered to as I come into worship service and our worship team leads us musically. Many times where I'm just weeping as they're leading us in worship. Praise God for the music ministry. Through the years, some of our members have shared insights, wisdom that I have gleaned from, gracious feedback. And I'll say to those who are leaders and officers of the church, you need the humility to receive it graciously. And I know that as much as I hope I helped my church grow, I know they helped me grow. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. It's hard to be a leader, and I'm not talking just in church. Any organization in society right now, if any of you guys are managers, bosses, it's a hard time to be a leader. It really is. Leaders need encouragement. You know, in the movie theater, silence is golden. But in ministry, silence is unnerving and deeply discouraging to leaders. I know that God used those gifted in prayer and intercession to strengthen me in ways that I have tangibly felt. It's one of the reasons why I'm convicted as I step into this new role to find an intercessory team for me. Because prayer is powerful and prayer works. Think of the way that the Apostle Paul, again, repeatedly asked churches to pray for him so that he would be empowered to do what God called him to do. And likewise, I want to encourage you, church, pray for your leaders. Pray that God would empower their teaching. Pray that he would enable them to equip you. Pray that he would enable them to be guarded from temptation and that their families would be guarded too, because that, after all, is the favorite target of the enemy, to hit us where it hurts most. I know when my family's gone through rough times, it's been really hard for me to keep my mind on what's going on at church. It's what happens. Pray for the protection of their families. Pray for their growth in Christ-likeness. Pray for their character, the character required to lead. Pray for their humility. Pray for their wisdom. Pray for strength to carry and shoulder the heavy burdens of ministry, because they do get heavy. Pray for them. So again, the church certainly needs leaders, but the leaders need you, the church. And beyond just, again, officers and key leaders and staff, fellow members, you need each other. You need the gifts of others, and they need your gifts too. As much as I have and will continue to pray in the time of transition, I have been and will continue to pray for the Lord to lead the right or identify the right senior pastor. I'm praying for that for this congregation, but I want to say this with sensitivity, but honestly. Don't make the mistake of thinking that a senior pastor will be the magic bullet of church health. No one person can bear that weight. What's needed is not only a senior pastor, pastoral ministry, and that's important, trust me, I'm not downplaying that importance of that, but for the overall health of a church, what's also needed is every member ministry. I don't know if you've ever been able to see redwood trees in California, the famous redwoods. I had the privilege of seeing these some years back, and they are quite a spectacle. These things can reach heights of 275 feet tall. That's crazy. 300 feet tall. 25 feet in diameter. And so you would assume that something that huge must have incredibly deep roots. Like when buildings are that tall, their foundations are several stories beneath the street. You would think that, right? But that's not the case. The roots are relatively shallow. They only go down 6 to 12 feet for a 300-foot tall tree. And yet, these trees rarely fall over. They withstand strong winds, earthquakes, fires, storms, prolonged flooding. How can something up to 500 tons, reaching over 300 feet in height, live for many centuries and remain standing with roots only going down at most around 10 feet? It's because their root system, which is intertwined with other redwood trees. That's what it looks like underneath. They're all entwined, literally holding each other up. They grow very close together. They are very dependent on each other for nutrients as well. Likewise, our individual health and maturity, our ability to grow, is directly correlated to our connectedness with others, friends. Using our gifts and benefiting from the gifts of others. Thus, as Paul says, it's only when each part is working properly that the body makes itself grow and builds itself up in love. The Lord Jesus, in closing, as verse 9 tells us, he descended for us. And not only descended physically to the earth, Jesus descended to the lowest place. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He gave up his comfort, his status, his rights, his life, for our good, for our salvation, for our ultimate and total flourishing. And therefore, by Jesus' enablement, as we look to Him, as we trust in Him and rely on Him, may we in turn be willing to give of ourselves that others may flourish, serving one another, stewarding well the gifts He's given you, because if you are a believer, you have at least one, if not more. Steward it well, every member ministry, so that as Paul describes, Mainline would grow in both knowing Christ and making Christ known. Let's pray.